Okay, welcome in. This is special. I know that a lot of you, including those of you who are listening while I'm talking live right now, are on YouTube, but I will be launching my own 49ers podcast. For a lot of you, this is going to make the YouTube consumption easier. This might make the community bigger as well. We hope that it does. But just over a week before training camp, I think is a good time to announce this. It's going to be the Lombardi Lounge podcast. This will not stop the video product. We're going to have both video and audio going. For now, though, without the camera set up, I'm back from Europe. I figured it would be a good chance to start the podcast. And this way I have a little bit more flexibility looking up at my screen. Going to bring you a good little 49ers breakdown today. We've got 49ers Intel time, and it is podcast time as well. The Lombardi Lounge. We're going to check in on Brandon Ayuk. We're going to talk about Netflix's Receiver series. I finished watching all eight episodes. Binge watch them over the past couple of days. We have some new intel from that on George Kittle and Debo Samuel. Have some numbers on the Shanahan system dominance. We're going to have a 49ers roster check-in. Maybe, just maybe, on October 10th, we're going to see the 49ers and the Seahawks square off, both wearing retro uniforms, because we know that the Seahawks are going to wear retro uniforms. And then we're going to look at some Ayuk route tree data. And those of you watching on YouTube right now, before this is available podcast-wise, this is going to be uploaded a little bit later on all the podcast platforms. We'll have that information for you soon. But those of you watching on YouTube, you will be able to check out some of the graphics up on the screen, such as the Ayuk route tree data or your 49ers 90-man depth chart or even your athletic article. We're on the State of the 49ers series right now. We are on the linebacker version of that series. Will Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw's tackling bounce back? Anyway, if you're excited about this, please do leave a comment. Please do start talking about it. And please do stay tuned as the Lombardi Lounge podcast. I don't think that's the final logo yet, but we have something just for right now, just to get this thing kicked off. The Lombardi Lounge podcast is going to open up how we cover the 49ers this season. A lot of you know me through my writing for The Athletic. Probably most of you watching on YouTube know me through that, through YouTube. And now hopefully we're going to have a whole new subset of people who know through the podcast. But it will be an audio way of getting your video information. I know that people like their content to come in all shapes and sizes these days. Anyway, for those of you watching video-wise, we had Netflix's Receiver on George Kittle and Debo Samuel. George, he's been working out hard. I'm going to play something here really quickly because I think this is a good follow-up on what we learned during that show.
Wow. Oh, fuck yeah. Let's go. Speed on it. Speed on it. Yes, sir. Snap it through. Get that bitch off you. Rock.
So that was 145 pounds for George Kittle on the dumbbells. And I think you have to be a little bit creative with the dumbbells. You have to start lifting pieces of furniture, essentially, for those to be 145 pounds each. Anyway, the Receiver series on Netflix. George Kittle and Debo Samuel featured alongside Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was 8 episodes. It was quality stuff. I think it, first and foremost, should have given people really, really good appreciation of how physically strenuous it is to play in the NFL. And this is something that fans too often forget. There was so much slander directed George Kittle and Debo Samuel's way after the Super Bowl from fans who didn't know what they were talking about, that if you watch this and you're one of the people slandering George Kittle or Debo Samuel, I would hope that you would eat your words. And I would hope that people would eat their words regardless, just because they're not tethered to reality when you're accusing George Kittle of loafing because he only had a catch during the Super Bowls, or because he couldn't recover a fumble that, you know, just bad luck that fell to the ground from Christian McCaffrey behind his back. Or, you know, you're saying, oh, Debo Samuel was taking plays off in the Super Bowl. Well, if you watched Netflix's show, you would know that Debo Samuel was playing through extreme pain, another shoulder injury that kept on flaring up, by the way, prior to the Super Bowl over the course of the regular season. And you would also know that George Kittle, dealing with the shoulder injury of his own, couldn't even lift up his arm on that 49ers final drive of overtime. So one catch, 4 yards, whatever it was, I think makes a whole lot more sense when you realize what these guys were fighting through over the course of that Super Bowl. Kittle, in fact, had to go into the locker room during overtime, and the show reveals that, I don't know if it was a shot or whatever other kind of medication they gave, that they gave him something, because you could hear the audio. Camera couldn't follow him into the locker room. They gave Kittle something, and I'm guessing it was some kind of painkiller that allowed him to suddenly be able to move his arm up over his head, and he sprinted back out onto the field, and he helped the 49ers drive into range to they ended up kicking the field goal, right? They couldn't score the touchdown. George Kittle did his best to get out there, though, and set them up for a chance to score a touchdown, which could have won the Super Bowl. Debo Samuel played through a whole heck of a lot, and that gave the 49ers a chance to win this thing at the end. At the end of the day, it wasn't an error of either of these two players, George Kittle or Debo Samuel, that cost the 49ers a Super Bowl, and I think they should be saluted for their efforts and not denigrated for their efforts in the Super Bowl. Beyond that, you know, a lot of fans seem to be rubbing their hands together in excitement, thinking that George Kittle and Debo Samuel might not be on this team for too long. You are an absolute idiot if you think that the 49ers would be better off without George Kittle or Debo Samuel on the team. And you're also very misguided in your analysis of the 49ers if you think that it's probable that George Kittle and Debo Samuel are not on the team in 2 years versus improbable. Like the 49ers have both of these guys under contract for the next 2 seasons. They're both superstar players, and they are not in the business of letting impact superstar A-list players out the door. So many people look at this and are like, oh yeah, cap savings, without understanding the salary cap. This is a team that is in the business of retaining top-end football talent. And if you watch Receiver on Netflix, you will see how unique the impact that Debo Samuel brings. And it's like uniquely good. It's uniquely, it's transformative as far as his ability to just bulldoze opposing defenses, unlock what the 49ers are doing offensively, make guys around him better. If you watch this show, you will see the transformative impact that these two players have on the offense and what the important 49ers decision makers, namely Kyle Shanahan, think of that impact. And if you see that and you grasp that, which is probably something that should have been understood already, but there's been so much garbage online regarding this, but if you grasp that, then you'll see, okay, the 49ers are going to want to keep these guys around. And then if you understand the salary cap situation, then you'll acknowledge that it's very possible for the 49ers to keep them around because they're surfing a salary cap wave. Extending George Kittle and Debo Samuel is actually very, very tenable because what the 49ers can do is save money in the short term by doing so, using the proration of a new signing bonus on that contract and surfing the wave of a rising salary cap. So, I mean, this is not the time of the year where we get a lot of new information regarding the 49ers, and it's supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be chilling right now. It's July 13th. The 49ers aren't going to be starting training camp for another, what, 8-9 days? So at this time of the year, we're just happy with whatever we can get as far as analyzing what happened last year, getting some, you know, new trickles of information coming from that. And this show on Netflix, I think, gave us a whole lot of information, retrospective information that should, to be honest, if you watch this show, I think you're going to be fired up about what's next in this 2024 season, because the 49ers did come up painfully short. But boy, there were some exciting moments on the way to that Super Bowl. And the show goes behind the scenes of those and behind the scenes of some of the best players that helped lead the 49ers to what was yet another thrilling ride. We talk a little bit about the dominance of the Kyle Shanahan system. First, let's talk about Aiyuk's route tree, by the way. I know that since I'm going to be uploading this as a podcast, I'm going to have to really tell people who aren't watching what's happening here on the screen. But this came from Reception Perception. This is one of those new advanced stat startups. And this is really, really good stuff because it shows just how versatile of a receiver Brandon Aiyuk is. His success rate was over 90%. Mike sent this to me the other day. His success rate was over 90% in every one of the major route running categories. This breaks it down even further to where you're going to see the screen, the flat, the slant, the comeback, the curl, the dig, the out, the corner, the post, and the nine route, which is just taken off downfield on the go pattern. But there are more rudimentary subdivisions. It's broken up into three, where Aiyuk was over 90% on all three of those. And it's essentially outlined how good of a receiver the 49ers have on a per snap basis. Over the course of this next week, as I begin to preview the 49ers, and we're going to go through this player by player, position by position, looking at this really closely, I can tell you that one of the zoomed out main themes will be that this is the most talented offense that the 49ers have ever had under Kyle Shanahan. And it's arguably going to be the most talented offense that the 49ers have ever had in their history. I know that that's going to create a lot of debate because you've got the teams from the 80s. You have the 89 team that won the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos, 55-10. You have the 94 49ers who beat the Chargers to win their most recent title. And obviously those teams were loaded. But this 49ers team, because yes, Brandon Aiyuk is under contract. No, there's nothing to worry about. He has to play for the 49ers this year. It even seems that that whole situation might have thawed. We'll see what deadline pressure does in regards to a contract extension. But that'd be all gravy for Brandon Aiyuk. He's already under contract. If he wants to get paid earlier, he's going to have to meet the 49ers price. He's going to have to come down a little bit. They just want to put the best product out onto the field this year and beyond. And as far as this year goes, you already had the number one offense in football in 2024 or 2023. And you've managed to retain every single primary skill position piece. We're talking Aiyuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Juwan Jennings. You've managed to retain all those guys and add Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. And if there's any question about how effective Brandon Aiyuk has been on a per-snap basis, well, here you have it. And, you know, stuff like this is why the 49ers and Aiyuk are at a spot where it's tough to find that sweet spot for a long-term deal because Brandon Aiyuk does deserve to be paid as an elite receiver. And then I mentioned all the other players that the 49ers have, and, well, yeah, they're paying them top dollar as well. So the 49ers are, not only are they not incentivized to go out of their way and overpay Brandon Aiyuk because they're trying to keep a team together, they're not even capable of overpaying Brandon Aiyuk and keeping the team together for a longer period of time. Justin Jefferson got overpaid. He's really good. I get it. Justin Jefferson's the best in football. But by pay, overpay, but you know, when I say those things, I mean, he got paid, what, 70% more than the previous high water market receiver. It was the Vikings bidding against themselves. They wanted to get the Jefferson deal done. They rewarded Justin Jefferson. He's got the largest contract by a mile now. The 49ers don't have that luxury with Brandon Aiyuk because they have a whole lot more good players than just Brandon Aiyuk and then the Minnesota Vikings. So they just have to stand pat. They have to stand in their position of power. This right here is on the 49ers roster as we speak. That's great for the 49ers because that's really good. He's succeeding at every single route, everything in the route tree has a high success rate. And then the three major subcategories were all over 90% for Brandon Ayuk. So he's going to be on the team, and this is going to be the strongest 49ers offense in the talent terms of talent department that they've had under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. That means it's time for a 49ers roster check-in. Those of you just joining, by the way, it's 49ers podcast time. This is the official launch of our 49ers podcast, the Lombardi Lounge. Don't worry, the YouTube channel's not going away. This is just a cherry on top, a little icing on the cake. A lot of you have been asking for a podcast. You do get a podcast now here for the 2024 season. We're doing a little slow unroll during the dead period with just about a week and a half to go before things really start moving. So I said the 49ers offense is going to be the most talented unit that they've had under Shanahan and Lynch. To me, it's remarkable that this football team was so close to winning the Super Bowl, despite the fact that George Kittle and Deebo Samuel were playing so hurt in that Super Bowl. But they were so close to winning the Super Bowl, despite the fact that their defense was a relative train wreck last year. I mean, the defense was number one in terms of the advanced metrics in 2022, the year prior. They got a new defensive coordinator in 2023 in Steve Wilks, and they dropped to number 10. They dropped from number 2 to number 26 in run defense. I mean, I wrote this with Matt Barrows the other day about how bad Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw's tackling was last season. I mean, this stuff wasn't good for the 49ers. Look at this. This is the missed tackle rates for the 49ers linebackers. Warner, 15%. Red is bad. He's way below average. Dre Greenlaw, 10.9% missed tackle rate. That's also below average. If you look at Warner's missed tackle rate season by season, he was below average as a rookie and in 2019. Then he got a lot better in 2020 and 2021. The last 2 years have been slipping a bit, but 2023, I mean, it's as bad as it was in 2019. The one weakness that Warner had really, really fixed reared its ugly head again in 2023. And I think so much of that can be blamed on the fact that the 49ers linebackers were just not in good position under Steve Wilks. A lot of that can be blamed on the fact that their defensive line wasn't stout against the run, especially at the edge opposite Nick Bosa and up the middle. They had a lot of poor run defense grades. Well, the 49ers have all the teal on here. These are new players, new veterans that they've added. They got 5 new veteran defensive linemen, 6 new defensive linemen, including the rookie, Evan Anderson. So they've rehauled the defensive line. They obviously fired their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks. And if this defense can improve from number 10 to just like number 5, they were number 1 2 years ago, and then they slid to number 10. So if they could split the difference, move back to number 5, and their offense, as I said, is better, right? So if the offense can stay at number 1, or even if they slip to number 2, you pair that elite offense with a top 5 defense and not a sliding defense that's way down at number 10, that's why the 49ers are favored to win all of their games. So that's the gist of the 49ers roster check-in for me. Over the course of this season, as I cover this deeply and we get into the podcast and we're out there every single day at training camp and we go to all the games, go to all the practices, and we talk about, you know, the 53rd man on the 53-man roster, we're going to get into the details and we're going to get lost in the weeds, and that's fine. But I'm going to zoom things out and I'm going to keep things in perspective as much as I possibly can. And the perspective here is this unit, this offense, this was already the number one offense in football last year, and they've gotten better. They've added Pearsall. They've added Cowing. I think they probably have gotten better along the offensive line too by adding Dominic Pooney, seeing Colton McKivitz enter his second year. So the number one offense can be expected to stay there with the tools that they have, with the fact that Brock Purdy should only be ascending at this point. This group right here, if we looked at it in a zoomed out fashion, the defense, they slid. I criticized them heavily last year. The run defense was terrible. They slid in 2023, but they should have the tools to at least make a bid to be better. And if the 49ers can combine sustained offensive excellence with an improved defense, well, that's their ticket to the promised land. in 2024. And yes, they are favored in all 17 of their games. They are favored to win the Super Bowl for the 2024 season. And if that happens, well, you can go back to the roster that the 49ers have built. Okay, so that's it. This is the Lombardi Lounge. It's podcast time. So everybody, obviously, be sure to subscribe here, follow along here. We're going to go back to some of the video stuff. I'm going to have film breakdown of Brock Purdy over the course of this next week. I'm going to get you guys ready for 49ers training camp. That's going to be released side by side with a lot of podcast stuff over the course of this week. We'll have guests. Everything will get rolling over the course of the season. I just didn't want to leave you out in the cold, or actually out in the heat, based on the fact that it's July 13th. I didn't want to leave you guys hanging for too long, and I wanted to announce the plans moving forward. No 49ers news at the moment. Aside from this, the Lombardi Lounge is coming.